And did you hear on my mind every hour of the day without your sweet inspiration?
It's another Tuesday night, everybody. It's 7 p.m. on the West Coast, and it's time for the Tammy Jackson Show on the 405 Media. This is Tammy Jackson welcoming you to an hour of sweet conservative inspiration. If you want to do so, like I tell you every single week, go ahead and interact with comments and or questions on Twitter during the show. You can follow me at Tammy J, T-A-M-I-J. And I'm going to introduce my first guest, but you can follow him at Yid with Lid. And
of course, I like that guy. Oh, sorry.
And of course, that means my first guest tonight is Jeff Dunitz, the conservative voice from the People's Republic of New York. Jeff Dunitz is a bit of a fish out of water, a New Yorker, a Jew, and wait for it, a conservative. He mixes a dash of spiel, political theory, religion, New York attitude in his political news and commentary. You can find his stuff at his sites, lidblog.com and lidsvids.com, and his weekly political column in the Jewish Star. So many conservatives are just amazed to find that there is actually another conservative in New York State and in the area where you are, Jeff.
Yeah, well, all my neighbors have moved.
You've cleared out the area?
I cleared out the whole area, which is really good because the pizza delivery guy is faster now.
There you go. Or the Chinese food.
Yes, that's true, except Chinese food we have to pick up.
Oh, you have to pick. You do Chinese takeout, pizza delivery. Got
well,
it.
Because the closest kosher Chinese place is very far away. So we have to pick it up.
Ah, gotcha. Gotcha. And in case anybody listening doesn't get this whole thing, check it out, because Chinese food, they make a big living just on the Christian type holidays, because a lot of the Jewish folks, if they have a holiday and it's not their holy day, they go get Chinese food. Isn't that right,
and
Jeff?
The movies. That's how we celebrate Christmas. Except this weekend is actually my favorite Jewish holiday, called Shavuot, which is, we celebrate the giving of the Torah, but you know what we eat? Everything dairy. So
everything dairy.
Pizza, ice cream, blintzes. Did I mention ice cream?
Ice cream.
So, yeah, that's the good stuff.
Okay, educate the shitska. Why do you eat
shitza?
Shitza. Why do you eat only dairy?
Okay, well, here's the thing, is that when we were given the Torah at Mount Sinai, the Jews woke up in the morning and realized that none of their plates or anything were kosher. Okay, so you know they were not ready for dairy, so they or meat. They weren't ready for meat, so they had everything dairy, and they kind of made quick plates for that, because dairy is easier. So they had dairy, so we have dairy.
So you have dairy. Okay, gotcha. I never really thought about that. Interesting.
And
I learned something new every day. And why you like ice cream. Well, ice cream is good. It's a good thing.
Thus saith the Lord.
Yes, ice cream is good.
With the Oreo cookies, eat it.
I know. He looked at the birds of the air and said they were good. He looked at the ice cream and said it was good. There you go.
No, actually, he said, yum.
Yum. And I did that. Okay, let's talk about the last week. This has been one heck of a week, and I mean it in a good way. I mean, this is really refreshing, Jeff, because you can remember when we were on the air prior to election 2016, and I'd be on your show, you'd be on my show, back and forth, and it was one woe is me after another as Obama was doing the most awful things all the time. And
well, the man's an anti-Semite. I mean,
he is, and he's
not happy with Israel either.
But he doesn't love America, and he's. I've heard people say that oh, he's a Muslim, and I don't know that he's a Muslim. But here's the deal, Jeff. He was pro-Muslim enough, pro-Muslim Brotherhood, pro-ISNA, all these different organizations, that the results were kind of the same. So it doesn't even matter.
He's a liberal, and you know, the more liberal you are, the more likely you are to be pro-Muslim. You know, when there's a terrorist attack and people say, well, you know, it's a Muslim terrorist, they flip out. But when you see, you know, in Iran, you know, what they do to women or how they treat women, that they don't care about.
Right. And they say that they support women. But the truth is, Jeff, I found this out over my lifetime, and especially in the last 10 or 15 years, that all these women women's organizations, they say they support women. They support women if the women think just like them. So if they're pro-choice, if they're very, very liberal about all these other social issues.
Well, you know, Tammy, we've had this discussion. I'm pro-choice as long as the fetus gets a choice.
There you go. There you go. Give everybody a choice, not just the woman carrying the child, but also the child. What a concept. But in this last week, we had a lot of things to rejoice about. And I'm going to save what I consider to be the best for last. But let's start with the Iran deal, Jeff. So Trump pulls out of the Iran deal, the JCPOA.
Well, part of the problem is that nobody realizes that, and no one will admit it, but Iran wasn't keeping to the deal. Okay?
Right.
They weren't allowing inspections in their military bases. Unfortunately, where they did most of the work was their military bases. The only place they allowed inspections was the Parchin base, which, because of a secret side deal they made with Obama that was published by the Associated Press last year, they get to self-inspect in Parchin.
Right.
And we all know, for those of you who are Catholic, you know, the nuns tell you if you self-inspect, you grow hair on your palms and your eyesight goes.
Self-inspection just doesn't sound real legitimate.
But even if you do it on television, you know, they're watching it on television. You know, you can't say, gee, I see something over there in the corner you might have missed. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And if they put dirt in a bag, you don't know it's the same dirt that gets mailed to the UN.
Right.
So, you know, it's nonsense. So no one can say that Iran isn't doing anything, because we don't know. And that's worse than no. You know what I'm saying? We
yes,
don't know
I
what
do.
They're doing. So anybody who says we know, like John Kerry, like Barack Obama, is lying.
Yes.
Okay. Now, the other thing they did is, in order to figure out how they're going to do the inspections, Iran had to admit everything they did before the deal. They had to fess up.
Right.
And as Bibi Netanyahu explained last Monday, they said to the IAEA, the UN Nuclear Testing Organization, oh, we didn't do anything. We didn't have anything. We had no program. And yeah, they had a program, pretty involved program. Therefore, that was another breach of the deal. They also breached the deal by making too much heavy water. Now, for those of you who, and you know, I'm not great with nuclear terms until I started working for IranTruth.com during the negotiations. Heavy water is not Michael Moore's perspiration, okay? But it's one of the processes to enrich and to create for hydrogen bombs.
Right.
So they were producing too much. And the neat thing is, Obama wouldn't report them. What he did was is he said, I'll tell you what, I'll buy it from you for $3.5 million. So they were making quite a profit by breaking the deal.
Well, okay. Yes.
So the mainstream media has been lying about this thing for a week. Donald Trump pulled out of the deal because it restricted us and it didn't restrict Iran.
Exactly.
Okay. And, you know, France, well, they weren't going to get out because they've surrendered. You know,
as usual.
And Great Britain, they're too busy with the royal wedding, which is this weekend, and I wasn't invited.
I wasn't invited either, but I am going to watch it and record it, all that kind of stuff, because I kind of like the whole fairy tale thing. It's kind of cool. But one thing I want to ask you, Jeff, and I think I know the answer anyway, but I wondered what you thought of Bibi's presentation, because to me, it's as if Bibi came on, and I'm sure he and Trump talked about this. He made the case for what we all were pretty sure Trump was going to do. And so you have to be deaf, dumb, and blind after seeing that presentation, let alone knowing what you know, but even just seeing that presentation, to see that and think that we could trust Iran.
He went through everything with the president. They're good friends.
Yes.
Okay. Unlike the last president.
Yes.
They're good friends. And not only they're good friends, but he trusts Trump.
Right.
So, yeah, he went through, you know, I don't know if he went through the presentation, but he certainly went through the evidence.
Correct.
Okay. And yes, it helped Trump. It certainly helped Trump say, I'm getting out. I was told, and not by anybody official, but I was told the buzz was he was pulling out for like a month. Okay. So it wasn't really a surprise that he did that. Although Eli Lake posted today the funniest thing. It was, my source said that rumor was suspicious, and the reason he knows is because he made it up.
Oh. Oh, that's funny. That's really good. Well, I was just thrilled. I thought he would pull out. I assumed he would pull out, but until I heard it, I wasn't absolutely sure, and I was thrilled. But yay.
Well, let me just add one thing, because too many people say, well, he pulled out because Israel didn't like it. First of all, Israel didn't like it, but all the Sunni states in the Middle East didn't like it. Okay, like Saudi Arabia, like Egypt, like Jordan, because Iran wants to take them over.
Yes.
They want to be the ruler of the Muslim, they want to be the ruler of the world, but they're especially the ruler of the Muslim world. Okay, so, and keep in mind, once they nuke Israel, which is the little Satan, guess what? Their second target is the United States.
Absolutely. And they have never hidden the fact, the mullahs, that they want to get rid of Israel and they want to get rid of the United States of America. And Trump pulled out of this Iran deal, not because Israel wanted it, although that's great incentive because they are our tremendously good friends and they should be our good friends. But also, and primarily because it was a bad deal for the United States of America.
Right.
As you stated earlier, we had the constraints. Iran didn't. They had a clear path to developing nuclear weapons. And you do not want the world's leading state sponsor of terror having nuclear weapons, period. Just like
you don't want Hamas to have nukes.
No, we don't. And let's face it, we see what's happening in Syria. We see that they're being used as a staging and a proxy for Iran. We know that. We know that's what Iran has been doing. So every move they've made since he's pulled out, let alone prior to, has confirmed that Trump absolutely, positively did the right thing for the United States and for Israel and for the Middle East itself. We've got to...
Trump's first priority is the United States.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We're going to be back in just a little bit. I'll be back with my wonderful guest, Jeff Dunitz, and we're going to be talking about a couple other great events, and you won't want to miss it. The Tammy Jackson Show is sponsored by Robar Companies. They are a true custom firearms and firearms finishing shop. They're located in Phoenix, Arizona. They're found online at robarguns.com. Now, excuse me, Robar is known for their amazing firearms finishes. But let me tell you, they will soon be revealing their newest, toughest finish yet. We're talking toughest diamonds. And it's just an amazing finish. So be on the alert for the upcoming reveal of something called Armor Lube. The technology raises the bar. Armor Lube coatings, they're created from a proprietary carbon-based formula. So if you're wondering, the carbon provides a natural, what they call it, a graphitic lubricity. That's that keeps things going with a low coefficient of friction. For those in the know, the coefficient of friction is less than 0.08. That's very, very, very low in the firearms industry or in the Department of Defense and the helicopters, et cetera, that need finishes. This coating is suited for applications, especially those that need a clean, dry, permanent lubrication without needing oils or greases, because those oils can accumulate dirt and cause fouling. So if you need to give your worn firearm new life, if you want to give your firearm an amazing finish, and the most amazing finish known in the world today is about to be revealed. So check this all out at robarguns.com, sponsor of the Tammy Jackson Show.
You're on the 405. Shop. Support the 405 Media. Click on the banner on top of our homepage. Then you know what to do. The 405 Media is an Amazon associate. That means you get great deals on Amazon.com and support the Talk Alternative at no extra charge. We are the 405media.com. Thank you.
I love Tammy.
I love you back, Kurt, because I'm a caring kind of gal.
The Tammy Jackson Show.
I'm just one conservative gal encouraging you to keep fighting the good fight.
Tammy is what conservative insurgency is about.
Tammy Jackson, the granddaughter of legal immigrants.
In Honduras, they had 60,000 murders per 100,000 or something like that. And I thought, whoa, that is a lot.
Like every other person on the block is dead.
Tammy Jackson, the emerging threat from the West Coast.
Tammy has made herself into a rising radio star.
When we have these mass amounts just suddenly pour into the United States, we have a worse problem than we already have had with assimilation.
The Tammy Jackson Show, Tuesday nights, 10 Eastern, 7 Pacific, only on the 405media.com.
Anything for you, Tammy.
405.
This is Mike from the Wrestling Mayhem Show, the show where we get fans and people in the wrestling industry together to talk about pro wrestling, WWE, NXT, WrestleMania, all kinds of fun. It's a podcast party. Check it out, Wrestling Mayhem Show, right here on the 405 Media.
Listen to the Wrestling Mayhem Show, now 7 nights a week, 9 p.m. Pacific, midnight Eastern, right here on the 405media.com.
The 405.
Let's talk tech. Tech news discussions from the people in the industry right here in Pittsburgh. Online, gadgets, startups, and more. Check it out at awesomecast.net.
AwesomeCast. It's all about tech and it's all about gadgets. It's AwesomeCast, Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, on the 405media.com.
405.
She's a good girl, loves her mom, loves Jesus.
This is Tammy Jackson back again with my guest, Jeff Dunnitz. If you're just joining the show, Jeff is the conservative voice from the People's Republic of New York. He's my great, great friend. And believe it or not, he's a conservative and a Jew. How does that ever happen? It's a rare thing, but there he is. And I'm thankful.
It happens.
I'm so thankful for Jeff and his friendship. And he's a great person to have on when we're talking about the stuff we're talking about tonight. I bet I got to have Jeff on. Absolutely have to. Because Jeff, the one of the most joyous things that has happened in my adult lifetime was what happened yesterday, which was the move of the U.S. Embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. What a tremendous ceremony. You wrote about it on your site, lidblog.com. I've linked it.
Honestly, I cried.
Oh, I did too. I've got your article linked on the show page. It's titled Ceremony Opening Jerusalem Embassy, Thanking Heaven and Trump. You begin the article, Jeff. Who says the age of miracles is over? 70 years to the day after Harry Truman ignored the warnings of the State Department and some of America's European allies to recognize the creation of the first Jewish nation in 2,000 years, we are witness to another miracle. Once again, over the objections of some in the State Department and our allies in Europe, a United States president has become the first world leader to move a nation's embassy to Jerusalem, the capital of the Jewish state. The May 14 gathering was more than a dedication of a building. For Jews, it was an incredibly emotional experience. Just as a compass always points to the north, the heart of a Jew always looks to Jerusalem. As it is said, Israel is the heart of the Jewish people, Jerusalem is the heart of Israel, and Mount Moriah is the heart of Jerusalem. Jeff, I was smiling and teary-eyed through the whole darn ceremony.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, it was, you know, it's funny because my editor at the Jewish Star said, "What do you think?" And I said, "You know what? I didn't care. Honestly, I didn't care what the ceremony was as long as they were doing it."
Yeah.
I mean, it might sound weird, but it's the truth. And I think that a lot of the media coverage was unfair, especially the New York Daily News. If you saw the picture of Ivanka, and it said, well, you know, she was laughing at the new embassy while there was violence going on.
Oh.
You gotta understand something. This new embassy was actually, it took over the mission, the Jerusalem mission. So
right.
Basically, they just changed the purpose.
Yes.
Okay? They put in a little more security, but that's
right. And they will build a new embassy eventually, but they wanted to get this done quickly.
But it wasn't built in Palestinian, in what the Palestinians claim as their own territory.
Right.
It was. Half of it is on the Israel side of the armistice, 1949 armistice line, and the rest of it is on what's called, it was in what's called the no man's land,
mm-hmm.
which is that Israel always controlled it anyway, but it was, it's where a blank space that Jordan didn't own nor Israel after the armistice. But none of it was where the Palestinians demand their East Jerusalem site.
Right, right. And so before we get to the violence and what's going on, we'll spend a few minutes on that. I just wanted to say something that watching the whole ceremony, it was tremendous. I think all the speakers were tremendous. They opened with a prayer from Pastor Jeffress. And then, and with a prayer from a rabbi, and those were great. But then we got to the end, and I loved Pastor John Hagee, and he's kind of a chubby, short, gray-haired guy with glasses, but he's really big on Israel, and I think he started the Christians for Israel organization. So he has been a longtime supporter of Israel, and he prayed a prayer that I absolutely loved, and I just wanted to recite a few lines that are from the end of it that even I saw some rabbis starting to get kind of excited, like they were at a great, I don't know, football game or something, if they liked football. But these are the words. Let the word go forth from Jerusalem today that Israel lives. Shout it from the housetops that Israel lives. Let every Islamic terrorist hear this message. Israel lives. Let it be heard in the halls of the United Nations. Israel lives. Let it echo down the marble halls of the presidential palace in Iran. Israel lives. Let it be known to all men that Israel lives, because he that keepeth Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. And he said a few lines more and quoted King David. But just those lines, I just had goosebumps and tears in my eyes, because he mentioned places where there is antagonism and even hatred toward the state of Israel. And what he was doing was pointing out, you cannot do away with Israel because they have a mighty protector, and God's hand is protecting them here in this little Jewish state, and they are alive and well.
It's interesting because, I mean, I guess it's our own perspective, but what made me shiver is every time you notice that all the Jewish speakers, they said a prayer that ended with Shehecheyanu v'kiyamanu v'higiyanu l'zman hazeh.
Yes.
And that is a Jewish prayer that you always say when something special happens. It's really, thank you, God, for letting me be alive to see this.
Wow.
Okay. And every time I heard it, it kind of gave me the chills. Except for when President Rivlin did it. I don't know if you noticed. You know, I noticed some things. He, as you're supposed to, he put on a yarmulke to say the prayer and then took it right off, like it had cooties.
Oh, that's funny. Is he more secular?
Well, you understand something. And I always say this. America is a Christian country, but it's supposed to be secular.
Right.
Israel is a secular country, but it's supposed to be Jewish.
Yes, and I know there are a lot of atheists and secularists there, and so it's kind of a conundrum, you know. It's got all this, every reason to be a country that is inhabited by people of deep, deep, deep faith, but not all of them are, which is interesting.
Well, but there are plenty of them, and the other thing is that I meant how I started that thing, that essay. You know, I truly believe that what happened yesterday, that the embassy was moved to Jerusalem, and now others will,
right,
was a miracle.
Yes,
And I think it was David Ben-Gurion, the first prime minister of Israel, who said, you know, anybody who lives in Israel and doesn't believe in miracles isn't a realist.
Yeah, that's so true. Jeff, we're running out of time already. I don't know how this happened, except that we're on topics that we're both so excited about.
And yeah, usually when we're talking this long, it's porn.
Oh, stop. Everybody, you
no,
have to
No, folks.
This is my friend Jeff and his sense of humor. It's awesome. People, you need to follow Jeff on Twitter if you don't already, at Yid with Lid. And you've got a show coming up tomorrow. Who's on your show? And tell people how they can listen.
Actually, and you can come to my website and lidblog.com, and there'll be a player there. Okay, and it's at other places also, but that's the easiest. My guest is Victoria Coates, who's, among her other things, is a member of the National Security Council, and the real one. And, you know, we're going to talk about Iran, and we're going to talk about what happened in Israel. And I think she might have been in Israel yesterday.
Wow.
She told me she was going to be out of town, but, you know, you're not allowed to really tell people where you're going
ahead of time.
Right, because it's a security risk.
Right.
So I don't know, but it's, you know.
So we'll have to listen and find out the rest of the story.
Right. Yes. Yeah. If I knew she was going there, I would have demanded she brought me back a T-shirt.
Awesome.
Or something.
Well.
But also, yeah. Folks, if you can come to my site, the top on the site on the front page today, you'll see something called the seven lies the media is telling you about Gaza, because we're being fed a load of crap.
Yep.
From the media about the violence.
Yep. And they need to read that. And I've got to say goodbye. I've got another guest coming on. But Jeff, I love you. Thanks for taking time to be on the show. I'll have you on again.
Okay, kiddo. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, bye-bye. Hey, you're listening to the Tammy Jackson Show on the 405. I'll be back on the other side of the break with Scotty Nell Hughes. The Tammy Jackson Show is brought to you by Camera Security Now. Camera Security Now sells and installs surveillance and access control systems for businesses nationwide. They can handle your largest surveillance projects while still providing easy-to-reach personal service. They have upfront pricing on itemized quotes, remote access to your surveillance system, no monthly fees, and on and on. So for more information, visit CameraSecurityNow.com or call 800-440-1662 today. That's CameraSecurityNow.com, sponsor of the Tammy Jackson Show.
You're on the 405. Shop Amazon, support the 405 Media. Click on the banner on top of our homepage. Then you know what to do. The 405 Media is an Amazon associate. That means you get great deals on Amazon.com and support the Talk Alternative at no extra charge. We are the 405media.com. Thank you.
Whoa, a new digital music player. Thanks, Mom.
Oh, I'm glad you like it, because I can't wait to toss the big stereo. And now that we got your dad that big HD TV he wanted, we can throw out our old TV, too.
Hold up. You can't just throw out electronics.
Really?
They need to be recycled or donated.
And how would we do that?
It's so easy, Mom. Today, recycling electronics is just as easy as buying them. GreenerGadgets.org has all the info. We just enter our zip code to find a certified recycling center nearby. There are thousands of them, and new ones are being added all the time. Some of our local stores are even certified recycling locations.
I like that.
Did you know that some of the stuff in our old electronics could be used to make new products and conserve natural resources?
Well, okay then. Let's gather them up. What was that website again?
GreenerGadgets.org. We just enter our zip code and go.
We are a bold and active voice for the unborn. We are Audio Girl Ministries, saving the lives of babies by helping moms in crisis pregnancies get past the crisis. How? Free ultrasound imaging so the woman can see the life she's carrying, and by supplying her with essential baby items, diapers, clothes, food, crib, car seat, all given with a loving and caring heart. Want to help? Log on to audiogirlministries.com. Make a tax-deductible donation. audiogirlministries.com. Thanks.
Isn't all that great. My automobile is a piece of crap. My fashion sense is a little whack, and my friends are just as great.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Tammy Jackson. I'm a little over halfway through the show, and now I'm joined by my guest, Scotty Nell Hughes. Scotty Nell Hughes is a respected journalist, author, and political strategist. She launched her television career with frequent must-see appearances on CNN's top-rated Piers Morgan Tonight. Oh my goodness, Piers Morgan. We all groan in unity over that. Poor Scotty. Formerly the news director of the Tea Party News Network, which she launched in 2012, Hughes is also a former Politichick, which is very cool. We'll talk about that a little bit. Adjunct faculty member of the Leadership Institute. I've taken some Leadership Institute courses. That's very cool. Political editor for RightAlerts.com, the host of eAlerts Daily News Brief, and a columnist for Western Journalism. There's a whole lot more in her bio. I've got it on the show page. Check it out there. Scotty Nell Hughes, welcome to the show.
Thank you. And most importantly, I am a mom in the middle of America watching her son in the championship baseball team, which I think most of your listeners could probably appreciate how exciting it is at a time, not only in our country politically, but in my own family, being in a Little League championship baseball game.
That is so awesome. So he's 11 years old. How many years has he been playing baseball?
Oh, my gosh. He's been playing since he was 4 years old. And granted, I don't care if you live in the South or the North or the West Coast. Every parent of a child has definitely been there and cheered their children through good times and bad times. When you know you had no chance in winning, but you still wanted your child to have a smile on their face. And those heartbreaking losses. It's kind of like politics these days, isn't it?
It is, and we get almost excited, especially when we have some things that are actually, when we're winning, actually, all this winning. But that is really exciting. I love baseball, and so I can relate to that 100%. I've been following my Oregon State Beavers, number two in the nation. They might be moving into number one if they keep it up soon. So very excited about that. But you know what? It's just as exciting when you have the little guys and they're starting to click. And I'll tell you what, those guys, I grew up with brothers and I was into all these sports, and I was surprised how quickly boys start getting the mechanics of things and can start bringing heat by the time they're about 10, 12 years old. So you're playing catch with them and you think, where did that come from? I don't see a discernible muscle on their scrappy bodies. And yet...
And yet they're able to develop this, you know, and then the same thing, you know, and talk about girl power. I have a daughter who's 13 months younger than my son. And this spring, both of them played on the same flag football team. And my daughter had never played football before, but the coach looked at her and said, well, why don't you play? And I thought, you know what? It's great cardio. And she was able to, you know, be on her brother's team. And right. While she was left-handed and wasn't a good player, it was interesting to watch these kids realize that they might not like each other on the playground or in the classroom, but when they were put for a common goal, they worked together. And even if they didn't like her when they were off the field, on the field, they were on the same team.
Yep. Sports are wonderful like that. Hey, you graduated from University of Tennessee with a major in broadcast communications and a minor in political science. So you actually have a terrific foundation for all these things you've done. You've been a producer of shows. You've been on shows. And you're getting a master's of public administration from Liberty University. As an aside here, Scotty Nell Hughes, I actually attended Liberty when it was Liberty Baptist College.
Oh, wow. What a small, you know, it's been incredible what an education has done, even for me. And I'll be the first to say I'm not in my 20s. I'm barely in my 30s. I'm about to reach 40. But thanks to technology today, people are able to continue those dreams that they otherwise thought would never have had a chance. And so I am loving seeing schools like Liberty being able to reach out into communities far away and be able to continue to train people and encourage them to meet their dreams.
Yep. Yep. All this. One of my good friends, I'm the executive editor for barbwire.com. It was started by Matt Barber, who was one of the deans in the law department. And he was also the head of the online education department. And he's now on his own and has his own law office open. But I knew quite a bit about their online education. And what's interesting is I knew Jerry Falwell, the guy that started it, not his son who's president now. And I knew him personally, and I know that those were some dreams he had for that university to train up champions for Christ and to be able to reach people throughout the nation. So as I see this stuff going on now, as I see movies being produced by the university, as I see all these different departments, I just smile and I think Jerry had this dream and it's coming true. I think it's fantastic.
Absolutely. And how mine actually started, I always wanted to go to Liberty, but it is unfortunately, sometimes things cost a pretty penny. And I put myself through college, but I always had the dream of going to Liberty. And I was actually at one of the debates, the presidential debates, and I looked at Jerry Falwell Jr. and I said, you know, I've always wanted to go to Liberty. He says, well, why don't you? And I said, well, I'm 36 and I have two kids and a husband and two dogs. And he said, you can do it online. It's never too late. And that's the kind of optimism that I think I love about this country. It's never too late. Now, you know, everybody asked, well, what are you going to do with your degree when it's over? I said, I don't know. But that's a lot of the questions that face 21-year-olds as they're getting out of college. I don't know what I'm going to do, but at least I have it. And that's one of the great things that not only online universities are encouraging, but also what we're doing within our own families. It's going, you know what? We really does prepare you for whatever you want to touch. You just want to have those tools to.
Yeah.
And I think that's a great thing that Liberty other universities are doing.
Yes, and so you're equipped. Now, I want to get some opinions from you. For instance, I often say that conservative women are, by and large, more attractive than liberal women. Do you agree with that? I think I know what you are going to say, and why do you think that is?
Well, let me say, now, if you listen to Hollywood, you wouldn't think so. You would think that, you know, if you look at all the beautiful supermodels and all the artists you hear in Hollywood, they're all very liberal, and they all interject their opinion, which is, you know, conservative women don't like that. But I think more importantly, what makes conservative women so beautiful in my eyes, and there are good liberal women. It's just the idea that we are truly compassionate. I see conservative women, you know, they always criticize conservatives. Oh, you don't love the earth. Oh, you're so hateful. You hate other people. It's the exact opposite. We actually are very compassionate. We have a lot of empathy for those that are hurting, and we try to take care of them. The difference is we think we should do it and not the government. And to me, that's beautiful. Self-responsibility is a true sign of beauty in my eyes. Someone that wants to take care of someone else, not because they're forced to, but because they want to. That,
right,
I think, is not only the love of Christ, but the love of what a lot of conservative women, we just don't rely on others. We actually take it on ourselves.
Yep. No, I absolutely agree. And I tell a lot of people, well, some of the liberal women, a lot of the liberal women I have encountered are all about making everybody dissatisfied and feel like a victim, and there's some bitterness and complaining and so forth. And I think a lifetime of being bitter and complaining and feeling like a victim, it eventually shows up on your face. Whereas a lot of the conservative women I know have gracious temperaments, loving hearts, and they're more, by and large, I think more positive, and that shows up. I've quoted my mom often. She told me once upon a time that before you're 40, you have the face you were born with. After 40, you have the face you've earned, so make it a good one, honey. And I tell young girls that. I said, make it a good face, and you can do that by having a joyful spirit, smiling, a loving countenance, not having bitterness in your life. All this stuff equates to really, I think, what is a beautiful woman really is. And that's,
oh my gosh, I love that. That your mother is wise, and not just because she's your mother. That's an incredible, that almost sounds like one of those Southern iced tea kind of sayings right there. But there's so much wisdom into that. And I think the other side is that, you know, every woman is going to face hardship in their life. Every woman, I mean, every woman has a nightmare going on. If the question is, can you bounce out with the good things that are also going on? You
right.
know, and do you have enough goodness in your life and enough goodness to put that smile on your face? That's another side that I think we don't discuss much, you know, for so long. And I think it's women overall, but also conservative women. We grin and bear it. You know, we don't let the world know what our problems are. We just deal with them on our own and we move on. And for me, and I've been through a lot of tough times, especially recently, what I have found is that I find the goodness, my children, Chicken and Biscuit, my husband, my family, my parents who live with us. I find enough to put my smile in them so that when I'm going through the hard times, I don't necessarily show it. And I think that's one thing that, if anything, this past year, with everything going on politically, with all of the emotions so rampant, people are recognizing that just because folks have smile on their faces doesn't mean that they're not dealing or struggling with their own nightmares or their own issues. And that's a good thing that I think we can look at, a positive thing that's rolling out of our country right now, is we're actually starting to become possibly a little bit more sensitive. I do feel like there's a lot more hate in this world. We're more polarized, but I think people are starting to look across the aisle and trying to find common ground and respect each other as people, or at least that's my sunny side optimistic self.
I like it. I like how you think. Now, Scotty Nell Hughes, you were an early supporter of Trump. And I love what Trump's been doing. I got to tell you. And he was not my first choice. But by golly, there was no way I was going to let Hillary win. And I thought, wow, if he keeps his promises, he could be fantastic. And as it turns out, he has kept them to the best of his ability. The only time he hasn't is if he's been impeded by the left, pretty much. But how did you come to be such an early Trump supporter?
Well, it was real simple. I was a part of the Tea Party from the early days, and I saw the frustration back in 2008, 2009 under President Obama. I saw the people that were losing their doctor, were losing their health care coverage, and how that was personally affecting them, and just the uproar and the groundswell from the grassroots. And so when Trump came around in 2015, I saw that instant spark. See, what President Trump did, even though he was one of the most wealthy who's ever run for office, he showed that you did not need billions of dollars to run for president. What you needed was the right message, the most effective message, and he went straight to it. And while, no, do I even today agree with 100%? Absolutely not. And that's the great thing about being Republicans. They say that Democrats are the party of diversity. The truth is, the Republican Party is very diverse. We don't all have to be in lock and step in order with each other. I don't have to agree 100% with any politician. In fact, I don't want to agree, but I want to have the core beliefs. You know, Ronald Reagan used to say 80-20 rule. That's right. How Republicans rule, and that makes us different. Where Democrats, you have to be lockstep in line with each other, or else they kick you out of the party, or they make sure that they put you in the very back. Republicans, actually, if you look at across the board, we are very diverse in our opinions. For me, being pro-life is my core value. And I know that Hillary Clinton and her support of Planned Parenthood, there was no way I was going to let her be president. That was my sole goal.
But amen to worried. That.
Exactly. And so I was very worried of how we were going. I mean, as much as they want to discount her now, she was actually an incredible candidate. She had the Clinton machine behind her. She had all of the data, the Facebook of the Obama machine behind her. She actually could have been a very hard candidate to beat. The only way to beat her was going to be straight from the people. And Trump tapped into that immediately. And that's how I knew. I wish it wouldn't have been such a polarizing primary as that was brutal. But sometimes at the end, right now, I think folks are seeing that while you don't agree everything with the president, you at least see those core principles that he promised on the campaign trail. He is at least trying, if not fulfilling. And that right there is promising.
Oh, absolutely so. I agree 100%. When I looked at Hillary Clinton and knew that she had been the 2009 recipient of the Margaret Sanger Award from Planned Parenthood, and she said that Margaret Sanger was a hero of hers, and we know that she was a eugenicist that started Planned Parenthood, I thought, this woman cannot be president. Abortion is evil enough, but to have a president that so celebrates it would be just awful. If you're just joining the show, my guest now is Scottie Nell Hughes. She's a respected journalist, author, political strategist. You can find out more about her on the show page. And we're just having a really fun time talking about conservative things. We're talking about President Donald Trump. Scottie was an early supporter of President Trump and has been very vociferous about her support, which I think is fantastic. And Scottie, let's talk about a few of his accomplishments. We don't have a ton of time left, but we can get through some of these. What do you think about, for instance, Gorsuch and the federal judges?
Well, that was probably the number one reason in the end, because I, like you, like Ted Cruz. I was very much a fan of Ted Cruz, but when it came down to it, it was all about having someone that was going to appoint Supreme Court judges, because that would be right there, the pro-life issue. So I think Gorsuch, I was a little disappointed. He did have one vote on I think it was Sanctuary Cities that I was going, okay.
Yep.
But overall, I know when it comes time for these pro-life issues, Gorsuch will be on our side.
Right.
And that's the most, and it's the side of the law. That's all I ask. I ask for Supreme Court judges, whether they are appointed by a Republican or a Democrat, go with the law. Leave your bias out. Judge Sotomayor is 100% about her opinions, and she admitted it. And yet, because of who she was represented by, she still got confirmed. She should have never been confirmed. It's about the law, not about opinion and the role they play.
Yes, Sotomayor and Bader Ginsburg, both of them have performed gay weddings, and yet they did not accuse themselves in the Obergefell decision. So there's been some real heinous things there at SCOTUS that I think, oh my goodness, let's get some originalists in there. Now, Trump has done so many good things. I don't think, and people don't know this, like, Scotty, one of the things that makes me laugh is lately, as he's touting his higher approval numbers nationwide, and he said, how does this happen when almost 100% of the media is negative? And I think that's about right.
Well, and that's the key you have to recognize. For this first year, President Trump was not about necessarily expanding his base. In fact, I never heard President Obama talking about how he needed to expand his base his first year in office. It was about fulfilling the promises to those who elected him. That's what President Trump did. So I scoffed at all those who were like, oh, he needs to expand his base. No, he needs to fulfill his campaign promises. I know that's a novel concept for politicians. But fulfill the promises to the people who made it. Then you start working on maybe expand. But more importantly, President Trump's theory has always been the economy. That has been his number one priority. And if people are making money and being able to rely on themselves and pay their taxes and not rely on the government, then they're going to be happy. Even if social issues might not be how they like, they're overall going to be happy with what is going on. And that is what President Trump is trying to do, I think, in year two, is not only make it more secure. You've seen that with the issues of North Korea and how he's handled the denuclearization that we're seeing, as well as in the Middle East, but more importantly, even our own borders right now, and trying to make them so secure that our families, and I don't care if you're Republican or Democrat, socialist, whatever you want to be, your first priority should be your family, and that is President Trump's priority.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely so. There was the passage of the tax reform bill providing $5.5 billion in cuts and repealing the Obamacare mandate. That was huge. And now, Scotty, we hear somebody like a Pelosi saying that she wants to raise taxes. I don't think that will play well with the electorate.
And absolutely not. But I say, Democrats, please continue to push the idea of raising taxes. That really worked well for you guys this last term. The problem is, I will say this, there was more damage done to Republicans with that before they passed the tax bill. But some of these, we can only damage ourselves. The Democrats can't damage us. We damage ourselves when we start to fall back on the old ways of just spend, irresponsible spending, filling our own coffers, pork spending that the Republicans became known for in 2007. So we have got to make sure that people are actually fit. It's kind of like your local politician. If they run for office and say, I'm going to raise your taxes for education, at this point, people go brouhaha. They are very upset with it. But if someone comes out and says, I'm going to raise your taxes because the classroom needs it, because our books need it, and can specifically tell you how it's going to get to the people, most Americans, middle-class Americans, go, you know what? I see the need. I don't want children to go without books. So let's fulfill it. That's the kind of talk we need to have in America today. People need to see where their tax dollars are actually going to be spent, and that it's not going for some $4,000 hammer in the legislative office.
Right, right. And I think a lot of people have been sickened at the influx of illegal aliens, of the crimes that have been corresponding, and of the problems that we have been hurting financially, and yet many people would come into this country illegally and avail themselves of our education, healthcare, all these different services, and the Dems were more than happy to funnel all those things their way because they knew then they would have a new electorate that would vote them in and keep them in.
It's common sense, and you know it, I know it, and the Dems know it, and that's the issue right now. So I agree 100% with you, and yes, it doesn't mean that our country, you know, everybody goes, well, look, our country was founded on immigrants. But we didn't have open borders. We allowed people to come through, but we knew who they were, and they came through legally, and guess what? I'm one of those. My great-grandmother passed away on Ellis Island because she was too sick to come into the country. My grandmother was able to come through. It's not like it was an easy thing. And so for those millions of Americans over time who have come over here legally and have gone through those struggles, it's in respect to them that we need to make sure that we follow the due process and we follow the rights of the law. And that's right now, I think, what most people, most citizens, and I don't care, you know, why you have a lot of Democrats saying, oh, you know, we need to open our borders and we need to take care of all of those. You also have a you have a large portion, I believe, of Democrats who realize that we're having a hard time taking care of our own children on the inner cities in education and food. So why do we need to continue this burden? At some point, the dollars do run out, and we can't borrow any more from China or whoever else that we have this major bill going to.
Right, right. Absolutely. I could not agree with you more. There are some so many highlights of what Trump has done, withdrawing from the Paris Climate Agreement. I think that's fantastic because, unlike what John Kerry said, I don't believe that that's the biggest threat to people on the planet today. I love that Trump, in his first week, reinstated and expanded the Mexico City policy, which, everybody listening, if you don't know, that blocked some $9 billion in foreign aid from being used for abortions. That was a fantastic thing he did immediately. I thought that was wonderful.
Well, and we can talk about the good points because, goodness gracious, you know, on the mainstream media, and I don't even call them the lamestream. I call them the manic media at this point. you know, if you've seen those Allstate commercials where you have the guy that comes in that's purposely there to destroy something, your car, your house, that's what that's what I consider the mainstream media to be. Too. It's actually, I'm the manic media. They want to create all of these distractions, and unfortunately, sometimes our own White House doesn't give them the fodder to go with it. I was very upset last week when I heard about the leaks, and while I might not be a fan of McCain, you know, we still don't need to have that kind of conversation with him. He is in his dying days. But it took away from the Sunday shows because they're just looking for the excuse to talk about something that's not positive about Trump. So let's not give it to him. If we know that's their whole goal, let's not give them that option. And so when you look at, while yes, you hear all the negative and we do need to go to the positive, we do have to look forward and realize the kind of what we're dealing with. And going into 2018, I am very concerned right now about the House and Senate. I am very concerned. I'm here in Tennessee, and I have to tell you, we are the number one conservative state as rated 2 years in a row by the ACU, the American Conservative Union, and yet we are seriously on the fringes of having Bob Corker, while I definitely doubt his credentials sometimes as being a Republican, there is a good chance that we're going to turn this seat to blue because of the race that the person who's running for it, the Democrat, is running, is 10 times better than the Republicans running. In fact, the Democrat is running, and that's what we need to be very informed right now to identify. Yes. The Democrat here is running as he's saying, I am, you know, I'm not Republican, I'm not Democrat. If President Trump's doing something good for the people of Tennessee, I'm going to support it. You're hearing the Democrats that are running on a very logical, common sense, Republican type message are winning. Those are the type of Democrats who are winning. But make no doubt, their first bet is going to be for Chuck Schumer or Nancy Pelosi. And that right there is an end game. So we need to not let ourselves be fooled so easily in thinking that these Democrats are actually good. We've learned that with Manchin. We've learned that with others. And in 2018, it is truly going to be the wolf in sheep's clothing race that I feel like we're heading towards in November.
Yep, we've got, and that's why I love you, Scotty Nell Hughes. You're getting the word out. You're a woman after my own heart. I hope people follow you on Twitter. I've got your Twitter handle on the show page, Scotty N. Hughes. And I'd love to have you on again sometime. Thanks so much for making the time.
Anytime. This has been glorious, and God bless you, and God bless everything you're doing and all that your audience is doing and staying informed.
Thank you so much. Hey, thanks for listening, everybody. The Tammy Jackson Show on the 405 will be back next week with more great guests, including Matt Bettley. You guys know him as the Marine. I had him on with his first novel. He's on his third now. I can't wait to have him back. Until then, this is Tammy Jackson reminding you to wake up. Don't be silent. Let your voice be heard, because you and I have a country to save.
I cut my teeth on the back of an old church pew. I learned to walk in the ways of light and truth, and I was told not to speak till I was spoken to. I heard it preach what I should and I should not do, and the choir sang. A good boy, but I ain't a boy no more. my tongue anymore. You can't buy my silence. You can't steal my voice. You can't keep me quiet. I will break the noise. Try to beat me down. Tell me to shut my mouth. But there's a time to speak, and the time is now. Yeah.